This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
To help save lives, you must stay at home. Only leave your house to buy food, to buy medicine or to exercise, and always remember to stay at least 2 metres apart. This is urgent. Protect the NHS. Stay home. Save lives.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Made me a little bit angry. It's a really stupid decision by Jack Grealish.
Fine, nowhere near enough. His apology is absolutely pathetic. It's not even an apology. There was no sincerity. It was a badly scripted excuse.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of MyOldManSaid.com. Joining me, it's almost like an end of season look back, because I don't know if this 2019/20 season ever will play out and find its conclusion. Joining me for a power rankings top 10 discussion, which has been voted by the My Old Man Said patrons and the illustrious panel that I have with me, Mr. Chris Budd, welcome.
Hello.
Mr. Max Stokes, welcome aboard.
Hello.
And Mr. Phil Shaw, welcome back.
Hello.
Gentlemen, we're all in our respective lockdown shelters. How are you all coping? Max, I see you've gone... I did it once, actually. I went mental, just shaved my hair off one day, just on impulse. Was it on impulse, or were you going for likes on your YouTube channel?
Yeah, I don't know. I just, at the start of a video, I just said, this many likes, and I'll do it. Probably out of boredom, really, just something to do. And it happened. So yeah, that's fun.
You sell yourself short. You should be trying to get, I don't know, raising money for charity or donating it for like bald orphan wigs or something.
I don't know. Give me the fucking cash.
Yeah,
everyone's got to eat.
Well, yeah, no, times are hard for everyone. Phil, how's it going over in Northern Ireland at the moment?
No, well, it's like everybody else. We've all been shut down. We've stopped going to the beaches and stopped walking up the mountains, and I've stopped border hopping for work, so I've just been confined in my house for a week.
You've got your letter from Boris, have you not?
Yeah, my wife got the letter from Boris saying that she has to be shielded for 12 weeks, so that really applies to the whole household then. It's like, right, stay in, only go out when strictly necessary.
Well, is she pregnant or something, or what's the situation?
Well, no, I think it could be a number of things. She had health issues last year, and then she's sort of quite a bad asthmatic, so
So
any more strikes, and it'll be like, you're never going out again.
so they are really going through people's records and stuff in terms of, well, health, medical records.
Yeah.
And you chaps, everything okay in isolation?
I'm being surprisingly productive. I gave myself the goal 2 weeks ago of doing a track every day. And bar today, I've actually managed to hold up to that. And I've done a workout every day. Strangely, I'm actually being more productive than usual. So I've worked out every morning. Done a bit of Joe Wicks every now and then with my nephew. And then been doing various other workouts. Didn't you get hammered by the Tyson Fury workout?
I did the Tyson Fury 9 a.m. workout, which... I don't do it for the sake of working out. Well, you do it. Obviously, you've got to do something for a reason, and it is to get the blood boiling. But it's just the most shambolic, hilarious, fun,
of course,
thing I've ever seen. It's just carnage. It's it takes place in what I think is Front Room, which is kind of reminds you of I don't know, early 1980s Council House Chic or something. And you know, obviously, he's a multimillionaire. You know, lacking in taste in terms of decor, but you know, that's part of it. It's wonderful. And then his wife's there, but also the kids running in and out, the dogs running in there, the shouting, you know, trying to get the kids in order and all that kind of stuff. It's just pandemonium and chaos, and
it's relatable.
And Fury goes through the no, I've got no dogs and kids running around, so it's for me, it gives me a chance to experience that in this lockdown without actually having to make any commitment or anything, or having to dress those kids or feed them or anything. But no, it's hilarious. And you know, when you're doing right, let's do 20 of these, 20 press ups. It's like, and he starts counting really fastly, so all the counting's completely out of sync with how many he does. He actually probably does about 5 press-ups and counts to 20. It's just, I mean, it's worth checking out. If I mean, there's, you know, a lot of people don't like Tyson Fury because of some of the things he said early doors. But, you know, this is obviously, we're in cancel culture here where you have to be perfect in everything you do or else people try to drag you down. But, you know, Tyson Fury is a boxer to me and that's my only interest in him. But this, you know, he's not my life coach. But that said, this 9 a.m. workout is just hilarious just because of its pure chaos. Anyway, enough plugging that. Coming up in the show, as football spirals in limbo, we discuss the latest happenings in terms of when this season may begin again, if it will ever begin again, or what is likely to transpire. Also, some of the kind of economic spin-off of this pandemic starts to take grip. We see what's happening in terms of clubs and putting non-playing staff on leave and the various things that have been happening. A few things that's happening in the Villa universe. The obvious one, our spokesman for the NHS and captain, Jack Grealish's recent antics. We have a look at that. Also, the virus actually became a reality within the Villa backroom staff as well. And then the main chunk of the show, we will be looking at and going through the top 10 players that Villa players that have made the power rankings as voted by ourselves and the My Old Man Said patrons. Actually took a good hour or so just counting those up, but we'll sift through those and see who's come out on top and if there was any surprise entries in that top 10. First of all, we'll kick off with the Villa news. Well, at Aston Villa, it's a bit like the Martin O'Neill days, isn't it? No win in March, pretty standard under Martin O'Neill. On the flip side, though, we are, I think, is it 22 days now unbeaten going into 23, 24?
It's probably worth giving Dean Smith a new contract, though.
Yeah. Well, that's what they would have done under Lambert. If he went 22 days unbeaten, they'd have doubled his, Tom Fox would have doubled his contract. Interesting statistic from all the supermarkets, the sales of alcohol, according to all the supermarkets, has gone up 22% on March 2019. I'm quite surprised. I thought it might be a bit higher, actually.
I don't know.
I'd like to know April's once we get to the end of April. May's. Ooh. Right. Bodymore Heath is still on lockdown, as everybody else is across the nation. Footballers are in the same situation. So the tumbleweed will be rolling through Bodymore. I mean, the irony is they've just rebuilt it, didn't they? And it's only seen a few weeks' use at the moment. The big news in terms of the pandemic, in terms of Aston Villa's backroom staff, is Alex Butler, the masseuse and physio, who's a good chap. I think the last time I saw him actually was... on the night celebrating the playoff win. He was actually in a critical state and it sounded pretty serious from what I've heard, but the good news is he's pulled through and we wish him all the best henceforth. And now, I mean... we mentioned that, but and you can throw that into the context of what's happened with Monsieur Grealish, with his, I mean, how do you describe it? There's so many words you can describe it, but it's the start of the show. We played the message he put out on behalf of the NHS, stressing how important it was to stay in, and within hours out he was, I think he was travelling like over, but around 10K, was it not?
Yeah, it's from Barnt Green, which is, well, near me, to be fair. It's not far. It's about a 15-minute drive.
But it's still, we're talking miles. It's still...
Yeah, it's a fair distance.
Yeah, he's not exactly shopping local, is he?
No.
Yeah, no, exactly. But anyway, everybody knows the story by now. And, I mean, the situation with Grealish is, I mean... Going back to, I think it was the nitrate oxide episode, the Daily Mail contacted me because they'd written like two or three articles, you know, giving him shit, slamming him, as they did when he was on the Raz in Tenerife. And they wanted me to write an article. And I think they were thinking, yeah, you know, get the vitriolic fans, give him another kick in. And I just read this shit that they were writing and I was thinking, right... Normally I'd tell them to do one, but I was thinking, well, you know, sometimes you've got to conquer from the inside. So I can actually write an article having a go at them within their own newspaper, see if they will, you know, see if they run it. And I wrote it and they passed it. And a lot of journalists were surprised, journalists who don't work for the Daily Mail. I mean, one Daily Mail journalist sent me a message going, oh, I thought you didn't like the Daily Mail. Here you are writing. And I said, well, there's a bigger picture here that's obviously over your fucking head. Because I was actually slagging off the Daily Mail and what they'd done to Grealish. I mean, I think it's on the site, still on my site. But the upshot there was, I mean, this is a young guy having fun, and he's allowed to have fun. And at the end of the day, I don't care about how Jack Grealish lives his life. It's got nothing to do with me. And I think I concluded as long, you know, it's like George Best, as long as he performs on the pitch, that's my contract as a football fan with Jack Grealish, is if you're performing on the pitch, then, you know, you can suck crack through your ass cheeks for all I care, you know, to get high or whatever. But this situation is a bit different. And people are kind of saying this is like chapter three of his being young and partying. Oh, he's only a young lad. Oh, you know, he'll learn from this mistake, blah, blah, blah. But this is a completely different thing. This is, and judging by some of the social media comments of people defending him, you know, newsflash, the whole world has been shut down. You know, you can't get a flight anywhere. You're not allowed to leave your house. Why do you think that is? Why do you think they're building morgues on airports? A lot of people just think it's this minor inconvenience and it's all a big joke. And, you know, this is just like the flu or something. You know, get back to me in 2 weeks. You know, people saying on Facebook, so you're an expert of, you're a doctor and you're an expert on viruses. No, but I can read statistics and I can see pictures of, old arenas filled with like thousands of hospital beds. I mean, I pray that these pricks aren't on one of those beds in a few weeks' time.
Well, it's pretty simple to see which way an arrow on a graph is going, and they're not going
exactly.
And they're not going down.
So you get all these clever clog arseholes trying to justify it, but there is this thing, and you know, the football fan is very tribal, and they'll protect their players to the death, and we've seen it over the last few seasons with, you know, Suarez's racism. You know, there's been footballers done for rape, and their own fans will defend them and attack viciously, you know, the person that was raped. Slut shaming, basically. And you know, it's just animalistic. The reality is, the main thing with what Grealish has done has, you know, it's like giving a green light and to the idiots who don't understand. And the reason why Grealish is trotted out to do these videos is to get the message through to these people who don't believe Boris Johnson when he's on the news or don't even read the news. And, you know, that's pretty apparent by their reaction, who just think it's all one big joke. So this is the main thing. It's not Grealish's actions per se. I mean, if he's, you know, whatever he's done, whatever his sober state is, crashing into cars, I mean, that, you know, gives a shit. That's his problem. You know, I'm sure he can afford to pay off any driver who had their car smashed up. You know, that doesn't concern anybody. Shouldn't concern the media or us or anybody. But it's just that roll-on effect that if dickheads don't take this thing seriously because they see he's not taking it seriously, then, you know, that death graph curve goes up. And that's not being sensationalist. I mean, what did you think, Max?
It's just a bit embarrassing, really. And You know, he has been idiotic. It's embarrassing for him and the club. And I just think, you know, he's put, the thing that got me is he put the video out on, you know, all his social media saying protect the NHS and, you know, things like that, which is good. But that's just clearly from a script. And, you know, it's whoever it is, his agent or whoever, has just given him that and said, Jack, read that. And he's just disregarded it completely. He just thinks, oh, I'm Jack Grealish. I'm above all this. I can do what I want. And I don't know how it's gone through his head that he thinks that's okay. It is a weird one. He'll be disciplined, and so he should. And he's been absolutely, you know, slammed everywhere, which is, you know, rightly so. But it's embarrassing, and no one can defend him. People will. I think Villa fans, well, the minority will, because he's Jack Grealish and he's the star boy and, you know, all this sort of thing. But
if Grealish hadn't put that video out, then it's a dick move. But it's like, well, it's a dick move. But it's so disrespectful to the NHS and people who are suffering to do that. I mean, fair enough, if the penny hasn't dropped, and, you know, he hasn't done that video. So he's gone out and the penny hasn't dropped. You know, okay, it's a dick move. You're an idiot. We can all call him an idiot, and that's it. But he's a Villa captain now, but he's now getting the responsibility that people ask him to read out these things. And if he doesn't sincerely believe it, then he shouldn't do it.
I think there's a few sort of strands. And one of the ones is that he will know, and his agent will definitely know, because that's why he'll have done the NHS video, is that he, at the moment, is one of the most talked about British footballers. Because he's at Villa and because he's playing well in a bad team, they'll know there's transfer rumour. They know there's, like, daily, weekly, little stories about him constantly. This just kind of undermines all the hype that he's worked reasonably hard in the last two seasons to create for himself on the field. Yeah. You know, and he's very much, you know, up until this incident, has really, since that injury against... was it the Watford, wasn't it, the pre-season game when he got the kidney injury? Yeah, that really seemed to, like, knock some sense into him, and he came back and he got in the gym and everyone's like, wow, he looks like a proper pro now.
Yeah.
And loads of pundits say, yeah, he's a nice guy, he's great off the pitch, great in the change room and all this stuff. And you think you've just undermined two, three seasons of hard work.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not like, I remember when Beckham got sent off against Argentina, and he was, you know, there was... pictures in the
hangings of the
red
there and everything.
Yeah, the red tops of him being hung. I mean, people are saying, oh, you know, social media nowadays, you know, players. No. This has been going on. The tabloids have been doing the job of social media vilification for decades now.
Southgate, Waddle, David Batty, all these guys. Anybody who's
Graham
missed a penalty.
Taylor.
Yeah, anybody who's missed a penalty in a World Cup. The Graham Taylor stuff was, like, pretty disgusting at times, some of the treatment he got.
Well, I mean, you know, having a gallows pole and Beckham in a rope wasn't the greatest look. No. But these are just things from the field. This is bigger. This is, you know, we're talking life and death here. This is unprecedented times. I mean, anybody who's moaning about staying indoors, I mean, the good news is nobody's dropping bombs on you at night, you know, like our grandparents and great-grandparents had to suffer in the Second World War. So that's the good news here. So it's not all bad news. But anyway, I mean, it is what it is in terms of, I mean, I'm not going to lose any more sleep. I mean, as you were saying, Grealish had got to the level where there was a lot of hype. And, you know, as I wrote in this Daily Mail thing, I was basically saying to the Daily Mail, why are you so interested in him? Because at that stage, I think he'd made 15 starts. When that Tenerife thing happened, he'd made 2 starts at that stage. And I'm just questioning, why are people so thirsty about this? And the whole island, England, who should he play for? Did he actually have any first team starts at that stage where it was all over the press?
Barely.
So what Grealish is creating here, he's just creating more pressure on himself, and he's making his life, you know, harder. And he's got to be a bit more savvy, you know, for his own sake. He's got to be a bit more brighter.
And have some, you know, there's the social context. And there's also, you know, traditionally in football, when guys would have, you know, big faux pas, I'm talking about the Beckham thing, you know, Gazza's regular meltdowns, the you know, the Paul Merson stuff, Tony Adams obviously had a famous one. They'd all be able to sort of, you know, reignite their public persona on the field. You know, Merson off the field was a complete car crash, but he'd still turn up on a Saturday and was doing it. Grealish doesn't have that opportunity, and there's nothing else going on in the sportsverse to even talk about. So Jack all of a sudden has become front and centre for all the wrong reasons, and there's nothing else to talk about, you know. And he can't go say, you know, oh, I've done this on a Monday, but it's all right because on Saturday I'll score the winner and everyone, and I'll be the champagne of the city again. It's kind of like, well, everyone's just going to sit on this, and then people won't forget So the first time he eventually gets to play, you know, be it against Villa Park, where actually I think he'd get a positive response, but the first game he plays away from Villa Park, he's going to get both barrels from the opposition.
Yeah, but you know, there is an opportunity, and that the opportunity off the pitch is to actually show, you know, the NHS some respect and make strides towards them, not you know, through disciplinary action. Oh, you know, if he thinks that, you know, 2 weeks' wages to a hospital brushes it under the rug, then that's not going to endear him to people. There's plenty of opportunity there. And in terms of, as we'll mention in the 3 points, this situation where players are taking a pay cut over, you know, the next couple of months to make sure that non-playing staff get paid 100%. I mean, there's a way in that can spin, you know, good publicity and show that actually, you know, the penny has dropped. But, you know, all he's doing at the moment is building more pressure on him. And, you know, he'll get to the stage where if he doesn't, you know, somebody like Manchester United doesn't come in for him, he might have to step away from Villa to play for like somebody like Spurs, because then he'll be in a club where he'll blend in terms of he won't be the main man and he won't have all this shit on his shoulder and he won't be under the microscope so much.
Yeah, it's something I've thought about in the last couple of days through this, is that, is this just another little nail in the coffin in terms of a player that in the West Midlands terms is the biggest fish in a very small pond? You know, you put him in Manchester where he's surrounded by international superstars, or he goes down to London where you've got 4 or 5, you know, world-class international quality sides and big, you know, big fan bases. He's going to get lost a bit more, but in Birmingham, everyone has their eyes on him, and it's not just Villa. You know, you've seen this is like... Yeah. Porn, isn't it, to the Blues fans and all the other people who hate him?
Yeah, and when you say get lost a bit, that's in a positive light. He'll be able to, you know, have a bit more.
Well, he's not targeted. You know,
can be a bit more anonymous.
And there's also the thing of, you move away, you lose some of the hangers-on.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
To a point. You know, I remember the same thing happened with Lee Hendry. You know, Gareth Barry had it. You know, they were the sort of like the toast of the city. If they won, they'd go out. They were proper party boys. They get up to no good. Luckily for them, they were doing it on the field and they were in winning teams. So it kind of does get brushed under the carpet. But I think this incident is so different, isn't it? This isn't a footballer, you know, as the Derby players last year, you know, writing off a car and a very bad car crash. This is something different. This is more about a sort of a social context, you know, a bit of a... And also...
Lack of morality.
And it sort of really reinforces. Unfortunately, Jack's become the poster boy for the whole of, like, the Premier League and football, showing how sort of morally bankrupt it is. It's just unfortunate. Yeah. And it's just typical fucking Villa, isn't it? That only we would be at one of our lowest moments in the season, where we've actually had a bit of respite from the whole sort of nonsense of what's been going on the field. And then we drop this clang. It's classic Villa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Phil, I was thinking about this, and would you think it would be necessarily, and maybe they did, that would make it even worse, for the club to actually communicate to the players, look, this situation is serious, you know, treat it as serious, and actually communicate, you know, the responsibility of following through on this lockdown? Do you think a necessary step, or something they should have done or maybe did but overlooked? I mean, we don't know. It's something you can find out. But
yeah, it's something that they should have done, definitely. But it's just sort of like, it would be typical of Villa again that they didn't do that. I mean, it's just like, right, lads, you know, you're at home now, look after yourselves, because we've seen stories of Pepe Reina not being happy at being called into training, and now we've found out that he did have coronavirus and he wasn't too well for a bit of it. Those were stories come out today. But right. whenever the Grealish news broke, you know, you've seen the photos and you've seen people immediately going, oh, they're Photoshop, there's something else. Being typical Villa, you just went to yourself, those aren't Photoshopped at all. This happened. For myself,
That's just the tribal mentality, yeah. Wanting to defend your own kicking in.
No, but you knew being a Villa player anywhere. Yeah, he's done it. That was first thing in my head was I sent the pictures to a friend of mine. I went, look what he's done. And he went, yep, I got there. But just from my own point of view, it's like I'm not going to hammer him. I'm not going to say what should happen or something like that. But I'm going to struggle to look at him the same way again for a good while. It's what he said, and then just went straight against it. Why do I believe what he says?
If you're one of his teammates and you clearly see that stuff, or I'm sure they'll have a team WhatsApp. What do you think is the reaction from, you know, obviously the manager and the staff in the club, and someone like a Perslow will have one view. What do you think his teammates think/say to him? Is it close ranks? We'll defend our own. Is it? Dude, what the fuck are
you doing?
The
question is, are they having a laugh and winding him up about it, which I think might be the mentality, sadly.
Yeah, that's what he was supposedly on the piss with Ross McCormack, wasn't he?
Well, I mean, let's not put out hypotheticals there. As Phil was saying, you know, it's his life, so, you know, there's no, who the fuck are we? We're not like some Greek chorus or whatever to judge him. But at the same time, I can't, as Phil said, I can't look at him in the same way, because I just think, well, you know, do what you have to do on the pitch, but you know, these punks that want to hang out with you and be buddies, then, you know, they're just doing it for your fame, because you've kind of let yourself down there.
Well, what's the phrase that you see on Twitter all the time? Not my captain. You kind of think this is more of a surely not my captain.
But I mean, on that subject, bring Max in. There's, you know, obviously an issue that has been debated is, should Jack Grealish be the Villa captain now? Should we take the captaincy off him?
Personally, I'm fairly 50-50 on it. Like, it's not the actions of a, you know, a role model or a captain of what should be a Premier League team, is it? It's, I think the comparison that's been there is, if it's not Grealish, it's probably going to be Mings, isn't it? And
yeah,
if I was Dean Smith, I probably would take it off him, because he needs to be shown that it's clearly not acceptable.
I think it's a thing about timing. I think if Villa were playing this weekend, I think I would take it off him.
Yeah,
if
definitely.
We're not playing until, let's say, August in a new season, or September, then you've got a few months to think about it and, you know, see where he's at. And then it's not necessarily, you could have a reset and he can start the season as captain. Essentially, you've got like two kind of captains, if you want to boil it down. You've got the guy who leads by example, or the guy who is actually, you know, a man's man, you know, proper organisational captain, which Mings is. So I think if it was next week Villa were playing, then I would make the statement and I would put Mings in there. But if we're not playing this season and a few months go by, then there's obviously another chance, and you can say to Grealish, right, you know, prove yourself, because at the end of the day, you're a footballer and it's what happens on the pitch that matters. I mean, people, you know, trying to ram it down people's throats that he should be excused because he's a good guy and he gives to charity. Well, you know, most of these charity things are staged, and footballers, when you boil it down, doesn't matter if they're a good guy or not. It's, you just want them to be a good footballer, because at the end of the day, that's the primal reason you're interested in. I'm sure, you know, Grealish is a, you know, decent guy, but judgment issues.
Max, would you say it's conceivable we might actually never see Grealish in a Villa shirt again?
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Obviously, we've talked about the whole, when is the season going to end and all that sort of thing, but yeah, if the season is null and void and we get relegated, that's the end of him, and what a way to go.
I don't think they will void the season and relegate us.
Yeah, actually,
I don't think
true.
That's going to happen.
But we'll see.
Void means...
void means it didn't happen, did it?
Yeah, that's what they've said in the non-league situation. None of the stats count, none of the... So when scouts are looking at Grealish's stats, they'll be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, he didn't do fuck all in a newly promoted team. It's like Men in Black, isn't it? You just erase everyone's memory, if only.
Exactly. So his stats will be erased, his faux pas breaking the lockdown, that'll be erased.
And all the Premier League scouts are going, who the fuck's this McGinn guy who Villa bought for $2.5 million?
Exactly. So, and we will rise like a phoenix
and
from
every
the
every scout's going, oh, I tell you what, on paper, that heating at the back with Mings, Villa look like they've got a really good back four there.
Let's go for top six.
Yeah, a couple more players and Villa could be challenging.
I mean, I don't want to make light of the pandemic, but I think we did propose in the last podcast did, you know, you can't really find a silver lining in something like this. But in terms of Aston Villa, it may well just be the stars are aligning in a very weird formation.
What I would say in the wider thing for Villa's season, and I'll be quick, is that if Dean Smith and his entire backroom team can't use this time wisely to get to the bottom of what is going wrong, and then and then they're going to have time to refine it and get it right on the field, then I'm sorry, but everyone in that changing room can go. And everyone in the stands can very honestly say, we do not deserve to be anywhere near that division. If you can't use this period to get your shit together, you just no excuses anymore.
I mean, just finally on, you'll notice that a lot of the headlines are Manchester United target Grealish does this. Manchester United target is an idiot. Manchester United target is... And again, it's just the press playing the game of maximizing coverage and clicks. Because Aston Villa's Jack Grealish does not get as many clicks as Manchester United target. So they will forever use Manchester United target. So the reality of, is he really going to Manchester United? Are Manchester United really interested? It's not that clear cut, because they're going to use Manchester United every fucking time. Anytime there's a story, they'll put that in there. They'll prefer to put that in the headline than they will Aston Villa.
Phil, what do you think it does for his England chances? Do you think Gareth Southgate has a rather large black mark next to his name now?
Yeah, I think it does there, because I don't think they're over. It's not. I wouldn't go out for it, because obviously Madison went out to the casino that time, just straight after pulling out of the England squad. So while it's at a different level of transgression than that one, it's still, you know, I don't think the door's shut on him. But it hasn't helped. Like people have said, he might be lucky that the Euros are put back a year.
Well, I mean, if I can deconstruct this whole England, people are obsessed with this England thing. England aren't playing anytime soon, so it's irrelevant. Doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter, I don't think. People shouldn't really obsess about, well, is he going? Well, how's it affecting his England? Well, they're not going to be playing anytime soon.
I think what
soon,
it does do, though, so, if England, if he was to, say, do what Dele Alli did in an England shirt in those first, you know, if he goes and makes his debut and has 2, 3, 4 fantastic performances, it puts him on the map globally. All of a sudden his value skyrockets.
Yeah, well, that's how he gets out of this predicament. I mean, it's always going to be on the pitch that gets him out of this.
Do you think he's easily led?
Well, it doesn't matter. No. I mean, why are we talking any more about it? Right, 3 points. First of all, number one, UEFA starting to give strong hints that this season across Europe will not actually reach a conclusion, although, you know, in the background, the Premier League and obviously Sky have been scrambling around to try to find a conclusion. The lower non-league, national league, 3 divisions have been suspended indefinitely. I was watching an interview of Eddie Hearn today, and all boxing, for example, is off in May. It's like a no-go. And rescheduling, they're looking more at July than June. And obviously the idea of football, was it to start in June?
Yeah,
was
it, there was before July.
Yeah, the original plan was like, let's get to the 30th of April and we'll see where we are.
Once they made that declaration, was it June the 1st, Max, that they were saying?
I believe so. It's just before July, the whole contract situation that's going on with a lot of players in July, it would just cause problems. So they said June, didn't they?
Yeah, but I mean, there's the element of wanting to try to create something for people to obviously watch. I mean, I think that might work with, let's say, with like solo combat sports, for example, which is a bit more easier to set up behind closed doors, and you can, you know, do pay-per-view, and you'd probably do very well out of that. But in terms of football, there's a whole, it's a whole other ball game with the amount of people involved and the logistics included in that. But also, you know, it's this, you're kind of taking the fans out of the equation. And I know that the Premier League, because of the TV rights money, if you're in the Premier League, clubs don't really need the gate money to, it doesn't really make much of an impact. I mean, the recent last couple of increases in terms of revenue and TV rights money basically negates the need for gate receipts. But this, you know, this creates another level of fans not being needed. I mean, what do you think, Chris, about this? Just the prospect of behind the closed doors, which I don't think will happen.
I think in general, it's the Premier League are really sort of very toxically showing their true colours at the moment, certainly the last couple of days with things we've seen. You know, football in general is pretty morally bankrupt, especially in this country. So I think most fans are sort of seeing it that, well, the Premier League are literally just worried about their TV deal. It's like, fuck the players' welfare, fuck the fans' welfare, and the stewards and all the officials at the clubs, they can do one as well. We just want our paycheck and we want to sort of negate the legal shitstorm that could come to bite us in the backside. But, you know, in reality, football is so low down the pecking order in the government's list of priorities that, you know, we shall see. I mean, I can't, you know, they're clearly not going to get any games played in May. June, I think, who knows? It's kind of too early to tell, really. We'll probably know more. Certainly, we'll get an idea where we are Easter weekend in terms of if things are peaking. By May, I'd imagine we'll have an idea of how the modelling is starting to look in comparison to sort of China, Italy, Spain. We'll know, you know, elsewhere in Europe how things are faring as well. But it's still very, you know, no one knows really where our curve is yet.
But it's starting to kick in. I mean, yeah, so like another level to what's happened the previous days.
Yeah,
Phil, you sent me an interesting article. I think it was from about 3 years ago regarding the health of players, actually. Was it respiratory issues?
Yeah.
I mean, this is before the virus. I mean, if you want to carry on about that, but there was it 3 in 10 players were showing some kind of signs or something?
Yeah, they got everybody in and they just did a basic test, and they found that they could say that 3 in 10, you're right, about 30% of players had undiagnosed asthma or some sort of respiratory disease, which would fall under the government's underlying health conditions. So you then have to worry if you're even getting these players behind closed doors, you know, the ones in the team that are asymptomatic, not showing anything, what are they going to do to the ones that they're training with or even playing against? I mean, it's not worth the risk at the minute.
I mean, this is from 3 years ago, and this hasn't really come out since this pandemic has struck as a factor at the moment. I'd be interested if it is mentioned anywhere.
No, I mean, I remember when I was younger playing myself, you know, I had a touch of asthma, and it was, a good few of the team that you played with had asthma as well. I mean, they might have took their inhaler in the change room before they went out, but it didn't affect them in any way. Yeah. And that's just the way it is. I mean, David Beckham, famously, nobody knew he was an asthmatic until he started playing for the LA Galaxy and the humidity kicked in more.
I think at the moment, would you agree it's fair to say that it's leaning to being voided at the moment?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if it wasn't, I mean, I'm not calling Liverpool out. If there wasn't one team so far ahead and, you know, champions elect, I think you'd be hearing a lot more about the season being voided already. Yeah.
Although I think the Liverpool situation is pretty much irrelevant. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, shit happens kind of thing. And I think, you know, Klopp's philosophical about that. But anyway, let's move on to number two. And that's, we could talk about this for hours, but we'll try to condense it right down. I mean, let's use the first example of Newcastle becoming the first Premier League club to put non-playing staff on leave. I don't know if they've made any concessions, because other clubs out there, I mean, mainly on the continent from what I've heard so far, like, for example, Barcelona players are taking a 70% pay cut. So their contributions can go to staff at Barcelona to receive full wages. I think that's happened at Juventus as well. And also Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund have also agreed. I haven't heard anything like this from Premier League teams. Anybody else heard anything?
Heard Leeds hadn't they? I think they've,
Premier League team, bro.
Well,
Premier
no. League team. I mean, the Premier League is just
Don't
so...
assume they're getting promoted, bud, this season.
I mean, I saw that, aren't Tottenham have as well? I forget, is it Forlorn? I forget what it's called. Where essentially the clubs are asking the government, aren't they, for help with non-playing staff, which is just a massive sort of fuck you to the country when you've got some of the biggest sort of entities in sport, even just businesses in general, saying, oh, we desperately need help, but we can actually pay, we can't pay someone £1,000 a week, but we'll happily give someone £100,000 a week.
Yeah, I mean, I put out a tweet, and I didn't really say much. I just put it out there, retweeted somebody had mentioned what had happened at Barcelona, and I said it puts into context, basically, you know, it's a dysfunctional society where when the shit hits the fan, the people you're paying tens of thousands a week are actually completely useless in this predicament, while the ones that are on, let's say, like half of what a lot of players are getting paid a week in a year are the ones that are, you know, on the front line here. And obviously the NHS is paid for out of, you know, the taxes, and, you know, people will grumble if you raise taxes, and there's a lot of money in football, and, you know, people are saying, oh, it's a stupid tweet, and explaining what I've just said. But it wasn't, you know, this was a philosophical point of how this society values certain people and, you know, how it works. And maybe something, this is something that has to be changed and people have to think outside the box to change that. But when you get to the situation where clubs are saying, oh, well, actually, you know, we need that scheme to, it's like, no, I think bottom line is you tell the players, look, you're on easy fucking street. Can we have 20% of your wages to pay all the people that are basically part of the team and do the day to day? And I don't see as any problem there.
Well, that stuff's standard practice in most big companies at the moment. You know, they're either taking hour cuts where they're working from home, but they're only allowing them to do X amount of hours, so therefore they can pay a bit less. Or there are blanket, you know, 10%, 20%. Or more, you know, wage cuts in the organisations, and you're going to have every agent on the phone to the club going, well, my player's worth this much. And you just think agents, football clubs in general, the Premier League as an organisation, you just, it's so hard to have any kind of sympathy for these people.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is if you could click your fingers and wipe out all the current wages and the agents and all that and rebuild it from scratch, you probably would. And I'm talking about squad salary caps, and, you know, they obviously they'll get paid well. But salary caps will make it more competitive, and we'll have a, you know, a decent sport to watch rather than the same old competing and winning things. Hopefully the penny drops, but I don't think it will.
The penny would only drop, unfortunately, now with football. It's at that point where either if the Sky Sports subscription stopped or the fans just boycotted matches, which that ain't going to happen anytime soon, I don't think.
This pandemic rolls on into, let's say, I mean, you know, there's people talking about 6 months potential, and, you know, even that might be optimistic. But, you know, we're not scaremongering now. But hypothetically, if it goes on 6 months, it eats into next season. People are cancelling, you know, they'll be cancelling their Sky. And after living without football for that long, they'll think, well, yeah, actually, I don't need it. And then suddenly it'll be the red light will be flashing at Sky because their subscriptions will drop and they'll be in a bit of a predicament. And, you know, as my gripe about the whole Grealish thing, as we discussed, was it's this moral situation where, yeah, read out some half-assed apology, like the half-assed intention of the initial help the NHS stay indoors. It's, you know, really important. You know, this and like the tweets after games when we get beat, oh, you know, we tried to, you know, these are things that players are told to do. It's not like any insight into their personality. But at the same time, the best apology he could have said is like, right, I'm taking a pay cut because I want to help the non-playing staff at Aston Villa. Like, actions speak louder than words. Anyways, point number three, I think the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, has, I think he's asked all the London clubs to help support the National Health Service. And that means getting team doctors, physiotherapists, paramedics to get on board to help out and also use the club facilities. And I think West Ham have definitely offered it up. He's written to obviously all the main ones, Arsenal, Chelsea, Crystal Palace, as well as Brentford, Charlton, Fulham, Millwall and QPR. But I mean, you know, we've already seen the NEC in Birmingham being turned into a, it's almost like a kind of a military hospital, isn't it?
Yeah, there's three, aren't there? There's the one at the Excel in London, there's the NEC, and then there's the, what was, GMEX in Manchester. So these are big, you know, 4,000 capacity, you know, emergency hospital, they're called Nightingale hospitals. And,
and you know, at this stage, what it is, it's just a clue of to where this is going. And, you know, we're only in the initial stages at the moment. So it gives you a scope of how serious it will be. And
well, it shows you how, you know, when they're planning for worst case scenarios, you get a scale of what the worst case looks like.
Yeah, no, exactly. Right, anyway, let's move on to the reason why we're doing this show many, many minutes later is to discuss the top 10 power rankings of the 2019/20 season, what's left of it. First of all, I just want to give a quick shout out to the My Old Man Said patrons and just say thank you very, very, very much for sticking by us through these tricky, tricky times. Also, thanks to Dave Francis and Stephen Martin for signing up in the last week or so as well and helping us keep morale up and fight through this, not only of a tricky time of lockdown, but a tricky time of like no actual games and reasons to put out podcasts. I mean, we'll always find them because, you know, it's good to talk. But thank you very much. If you want to get access to extra shows, and we did a good one actually with it, Where Were You When We Were Good, when we discussed Villa's transitional season from Big Ron to Brian Little. We're going to do one which centres on the transitional season from Brian Little to John Gregory. We're still looking at which is the best game. I mean, at the moment, Gareth Barry's Premier League debut against Sheffield Wednesday could be potentially the one. Anyway, if you want to get access to extra shows, do sign up. Go to myoldmansaid.com and click on the Patreon link. Thank you very much. The top 10 Villa player season power rankings are coming up in part two, released very soon. Thanks for listening.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.